Well, as you can see, our subject today is belonging, and I've been thinking about that for quite some time, and having decided to do the talk on this subject, I've sort of even thought more about it, and so it's a lovely concept, I think, belonging, and I know I've appreciated belonging very much. It means something steadying and forward and ongoing and supportive and all that sort of thing. So I've got this definition there. This is out of the dictionary. To be the property of, well, that doesn't really apply to us. We're not the property of anything. But we can be rightly assigned to a group as a duty or right or part or member. And the verb means also to have the right personal social qualities to fit a group. So, you know, when you're sort of one of those things when you're getting little kids to sort things and you're trying to teach them that, you know, about groups, and they've got to put all the red pegs in there and all the blue pegs in. So that's what that means. So you fit a group. You learn about fitting into a group. To be rightly placed or classified. So sometimes that reminds me of, what's her name? The Mari, the person who does the uncluttering? Marie Kondo, yeah. So I was thinking about her at the time of doing this, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, because she, you know, we've got, I don't know about you, but I've got all this stuff at home, and I don't want it. It belongs to me, but I don't want it, and so it's not rightly placed, according to me, or according to her, so I need to get rid of it, all this stuff. So that's, and so then that I'll be left with only the stuff that I want, and that's her whole idea, and that's really nice. And to fit a particular environment, so you can sort of say, well, you know, that doesn't belong there because it doesn't fit there. So for imagine if we've got a great, beautiful park and someone builds a brick furnace there, say, that doesn't belong there. That doesn't belong there. It should go away. And this one is the noun is what we're talking about today. Membership of and acceptance by a group. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, just to get us thinking about that idea, I'm going to give you all a bit of an exercise. This involves a few people moving. So if you feel like moving, I want you to get into a group of about three or four. And you people can just turn around and just move your chairs. Don't look askance at me and say, I'm not going to move. Just move your chair around. Make a group. You people, someone go with those girls. You can just work with my friend.
I'll just do it. Wendy, you want to shout in your ears.
Or you want to go backwards? I want you to make a list to someone in the group. Make a list of all the groups that you belong to. Here's one for you, okay. Here, do you want to come here so you can see who you're better? No, just write on the envelope. Oh, I've given you an envelope just because it's substantial, okay? Oh, you don't need one. Okay. Someone write in your group all the groups that you belong to.
Oh no, Jim and I belong to the health club. That has to go on the top.
No fun.
Yes, self angels.
So any club,
church on the top,
any
that's
team, any interest group, any welfare group, any church,
I belong to a book club.
Yes, we've been in the last year.
Yeah, it's noisy now.
Let me help you.
do that for you.
Now I'm not here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, we've got a big
What we belong to.
And church. And women's Bible club.
Yes, that's it now. Everyone belongs here.
Because we're all there.
Because that's common to all of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be common. It doesn't matter. So we're wanting to actually see the diversity. Craft. She belongs to a craft group.
A gym.
She belongs to a gym.
Rose Society. That's a club.
Never heard of it. They look after roses. That's good.
Okay,
1 minute. Only 1 minute.
Actually, I have friends that I belong to. How many different groups? There's about 20 of us here. How many different groups there will be that we all belong to? I think so. So I want the person who's been writing to tell you who. Oh, first of all, cross out anything that you only pay to belong. Like that's any insurance group.
We didn't do that.
Or self-insurance or any, cross them out. So we don't want those. We just want we'll assume that everyone's got family in there. And we'll assume that everyone's got this group in there. Okay. So cross them out. Now we're going to make a list of all the different groups, and I want each person who's writing to just tell me two. And don't pick, if you've already heard it, don't tell me that one again. Okay? So we're just going to jot up. Okay, two from this group.
Well, this will be easy to, good one to put up, because I don't think many people will say, I belong to a Rose Society,
okay? Rose, I presume that's about roses, the flower, rose, yes, another one?
Another one is ACO. Australian Chamber of
Orchestra. I don't know whether that's it. No.
But
she supports it. I appreciate, yeah.
You don't belong to it.
I don't. Okay.
You've got to belong to it?
She's subscribed.
Yes,
A gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's June.
Yes. June, yeah.
June.
That's you.
Good.
I'm from.
I have to cross that out.
Right?
Egalitarian meeting. Church meeting. Egalitarian once a month church meeting.
Okay. This one?
Salvo's group.
Salvo welfare, is that right?
Yeah. Pre-will, all the others have been eliminated.
Okay.
Thank you.
This one?
A going out for dinner group?
Yeah.
Oh, now that's good. Yes. Going out for dinner group.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Facebook. Yes, I was going to mention, does anyone belong to any groups on the social media where you chat and talk and all that?
No,
I'm not
social media groups.
So you can't just be on it, you have to be interacting with it.
Christian Alpin is well
watched. Verbally. These ladies belong to two Bible study groups. One on the Tuesday, they go somewhere together. They didn't know each other before in China. And now they go to a Tuesday Bible study group and our Thursday Bible study
group. Any more?
No.
You belong to lots, Joe. Come on.
Oh, you don't know.
Think you include yourself in your group. Honestly, include yourself in a group.
Okay.
So let's go.
Well, I belong to a book group, and I belong to, the Sunday School Union thing. I have a group in Oakley that I meet for coffee.
Okay. So, has anyone got anything else that you want to add that's really unusual? You think,
Christadelphians Worldwide has got 2,000 members nearly.
Okay, so you want to put that up there?
This is right.
CWW.
Okay, anyone, any other interesting groups?
Yeah, the friendship group at Sharps, which is...
Friendship.
Chinese people.
With the Chinese, okay, friendship. Yeah, you meet on a... What day do you meet?
Wednesday.
Meet on a Wednesday and just sort of be together and these are people who are interested in the Bible and things like that.
I call my group an Alzheimer's Widows Group.
An Alzheimer's Widows Group, okay.
They haven't got it.
No, we have got it.
Holly
has some dear dogs.
Oh, okay, the Alzheimer's Widow. Yes, I understand that. Okay. Bible preaching. Carelings. Okay. Well, as you can see, there's lots of different groups that we belong to, and they enrich our lives. They make our lives fuller and better and
more satisfying.
And that's the whole point. Okay. That's the intro. Go back to sleep, someone else can't my fault. You've now got some conversation starters, maybe, depending on what you've heard in your group.
So we turn around again?
Yes. Not doing anything more like that. Okay. All right. I'm wanting to let you know that belonging was God's idea for mankind from the very beginning. Remember, he said, right at the beginning, he says it's not good for man to be alone. And he created Eve for Adam. And they were united and became one flesh. And they belonged to each other. And from that belonging, they were blessed with a family. Genesis, the book of first things, begins with stories of human relationships about husbands and wives, parents and children, rivalries between siblings, as if it's to say, this is where life is at. This is the important part of life, relationships. And when God called Abraham to leave his place of birth and his family, he promised him another family. He said, leave that family and follow me, and I'll give you another family that is going to be as many as the stars in heaven. The same promise of a family was made to Isaac and to Jacob. And as time went on, these families grew and became God's people. Deuteronomy is full of God's words to his people. I want to read this to you. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations.
He defends the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. He is your praise, he is your God. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. These are God's people. So where does that fit into our feeling? Well, many of us will feel that we are God's people also. I want to now just talk about religion and belonging. So remember, well, some of you will know that Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist who has been spruiking his beliefs for many years now, he said that science has replaced religion. Well, it hasn't. In his view, it has, for him. But in the world, it hasn't. And that's because many people want to have religion, because religion gives us a different perspective. Religion links us to what is eternal, what's everlasting, to what is magnificent and noble. Religion reminds us what exceeds us: glaciers, mountains, new babies, microscopic life forms, that immense area of krill that's floating through the ocean. I don't know if you've heard about that. There's supposed to be this huge krill that's floating through the ocean. No one can imagine such a thing. The immensity and power of the natural world, a sweeping vision of the totality of existence, the foundations of the earth, constellations, the hawk, the goat, the way our foot works. There's a sense of awe when we think about those things. And religion connects us to the source of life, the Creator God and His Son, that noble character who showed us how to live the ultimate human life in service to others. Religion connects us to what is sublime and transcendent. Okay, I'm going to draw something for you now. It's, I'm going to label this drawing Religion and Belonging. Okay, I'm going to have here, this is the individual. The single person. And over here is God. So, what connects us, the individual, with God? Well, I'm going to show you what I think. You might, and so this is something for you to think about. Okay, so I think we've got one, two, three, and one out. X marks the spot, and also it's the cross of Christ. How about that? Okay, now, in this one, this is family and friends. They're the closest one to us, okay? The next one, I better look at my diagram. This one is... Thank you. type paper. Here's mine. Okay, family and friends. This one is...
It's the same circle, right? Hmm? You put that arrow into. It's the same one that you got your family.
Oh, yeah.
Friends in.
Right.
Sorry.
Good on you. Thank you. This one is your ecclesia or the small Christian group that you belong to.
Church. Local.
Okay. Then this one is same faith believers. So that, if you're a Christadelphian, that's Christadelphians worldwide, or if you belong to another church group, all the people in the world that share that faith with you. Alright? Now, what am I in? I'm in this one. Where'd I go? This one. Let's go around this one. This one goes around here. This one is... This is an interesting one. I don't know if you think about this. I think of myself belonging to this. This is the Judeo-Christian tradition and culture. No, that's not right. That's not right. Let's move that one away. There. This one is Christianity. All Christians.
Okay.
All Christians. This one's a Judeo-Christian culture. And then, now that goes into there. And then this one here is everyone who wants to know God or looks for God. So in that group, I'm thinking of, that's this group here. Everyone who wants to know God. So I'm thinking about, I believe Abraham was one of those people. He obviously wanted to know, which is why God chose him. And then we've got other people in there, like Zarathustra. Zarathustra, is it Zarathustra? You know, he was over from the, you know, that Middle East, Mesopotamia area. And that's where the three kings came, you know, from that group. So they wanted to know God. And I also include in that group, I don't know if you know, there's a lot of people that we come across that actually, they maybe want to know God, and we can talk to them. In the Weekend Australian, I've been cutting out all the references to God in the Weekend Australian. There's a lot. Just about every weekend there's something about God. This one, trying to free Christ from the Christian church, someone's opinion about that. This one was this guy, Greg Sheridan, wrote a book about God. Like, he wouldn't think so. He comments on, he's a commentator anyway, about the world. He's wrote a book about God. I bought the book. It's okay. he doesn't share the same beliefs, of course, but he wants to know God. And then this one was in last week's newspaper. And this one's a man who's written a book called Adam, the First Human? And he's written a book, and it's all about his understanding of the book of Genesis and how it should be read. Mm-hmm. And so you find, so he obviously wants to know about God, and this person who reviewed the book has also written a book. And he's written a book called God Actually. So all these, there's lots of people who really want to know God and are looking for God. And I think that's a very interesting thing to know.
So I've got that for that that group there.
Ethiopian.
Anyone know where I put my pen?
Ethiopian.
Yes, the Ethiopian. Yeah. Oh, we know lots of people from the Bible who wanted to know God. You know, Cornelius and all those people. Anyway, I include all the people throughout the generations too. Even in this one, Christians throughout the generations. I think we belong. I feel I belong to them. I belong to that group of Christians who followed, you know, through the persecution of the church and then all those terrible things that happened to Christians. I feel I belong to that group. And so that makes my life very interesting. And then the last one here, I think, no, there's two more. This is humanity. We belong to humanity. And then outside that is creation. And we feel we belong to the creation, do we not? And that creation, of course, links us with God. So God's in there. God wants a relationship with humanity. God wants to know everyone who wants to know God. God was involved in the Judeo-Christian culture, in Christianity itself, in our little church group, same faith of all the believers who, the ecclesia or church that we belong to, our family and friends, and he wants to know us. So I think that's pretty fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
And it can show you how rich your life can be if you want to consider that you belong to all those groups. And how you can look at them, study them, read about them, and think, I belong there. I'm interested in that because I belong. Okay. Okay. And so now we, of course, who are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, we go into here. And into here, because it says in the Bible too, it makes it very plain that we belong to God, because it says that we're heirs according to the promise. And like he told the people of Israel, we too are expected to love those who are the aliens and the fatherless and the widows, and be a family for them who have no family. So I think this idea that God had families for what he wanted for the human beings that he created is a very, very strong sort of idea. Now, these are ideas about belonging. They're only just ideas of mine, and you might disagree with some of them. I'm not be happy to talk to you about it later if you disagree with me. But now, I want to think about this, because when you think about all these things, we don't have any say in all of these things, and it's only when we come to here that we have a say in belonging. Like, we have an input. We might same faith believers in the world, especially if we go to a different country or then we go out to that. But mainly our relationships are here in the church, here with the family, and with ourselves. And there's something, so we've inherited all these groups. We've just belonged to Australian culture and we've got all these things that we belong to. And now this one especially, we've chosen, to belong to that group. So that makes that a bit problematical. Because, and family and friends, well, we do choose our friends, but we sort of don't even notice, because if we don't like a particular friend, well, we just don't maintain the friendship with them. But what family is what's been given to us. And so there's something different about this. So how do we belong to that group? That's the next thing that I want to talk to you about. Well, relationship is key. Now, as I said, Genesis begins with the human relationships. It's a whole book of them.
And you remember through the Bible, we're always told, you know, all those begat, someone they begat and they begat and they begat and they begat. And the Bible's very interested in whose son was who, and then Sunol and Sunol and Sunol. You know, they went through who, what those relationships were. So, and family and friends are very important to our concepts of ourselves, and we value them for what we experience as we share our lives with them and talk about our stories and our ideas and our, and establish our values and ideals. And so we can have that same idea with our ecclesia or church too. If we interact, same idea as family and friends, we can, if we choose to treat them like that group. And they help us figure out our ideals and our values. They help us think about the world and our place in it. And we feel we belong to them. So there's lots of benefits in having these things, groups that we belong to. But what are our responsibilities? Responsibilities are something that we don't hear about that much in today's world, because everyone's talking always about our rights. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got this right to be, and women have got this right, and the workers have got this right, and special subgroups should have the same rights as everyone else, and homeowners have the right to complain about the banks, and we've got all these rights that we have. But we don't talk much about responsibility. And responsibility gives our life meaning. So we do take up our responsibilities for ourselves, our family and our friends, and we act out our care and love for them. So we build our families, we strengthen them, we take care of them, we treat them with kindness, and the same for our friends. Do to them as you would have them treat you, etc., etc. We know it well. It seems pretty straightforward for family and friends, because actually we feel our belonging to them in our bones. We feel it. It's something more than an idea. But what about the ecclesia or church? Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "You Gentiles, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." He also says, "So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to one another, to him who was raised, belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." And that's what that is a picture of, I think. Okay, now the ecclesia comes, our membership in ecclesia is not something that we've inherited or that's been given to us. It's different. How is it different?
We choose it.
Mm. That's right. We choose it.
And we apply, but we might be refused.
Well, I don't want to talk about that. I'm just talking about how we apply, or we choose to belong, and so then we have to fulfil all the requirements for belonging, just like any other group that you have just been talking about. We have to apply, and then we have to be accepted by the group. Our membership comes from a decision we made when we were figuring out what our lives would be about, what we would stand for, what we believed to be true about life and being. And that decision connected us to something bigger than our individual lives. And that was one of the reasons that we made that decision. So in that group, in this group of the church, the small church, we agreed. We're all going in the same direction. We're all going with them aiming for the goal, which is the kingdom of God or knowing Jesus or seeing Jesus. Okay. I'm wondering about behaving now. We've already, these are all ideas, but now I'm wanting to change our focus on what do we do when we belong. I've got to move now over there. I've got to start pressing buttons. I could have just moved to that chair, couldn't I? Okay, this is my next slide. Okay, so how to. This series of slides is about lessons from geese. I don't know if anyone's heard that before. But I found this paper in my folder somewhere in my file, and it was interesting to me. So I'm going to have to sit somewhere where I can read it, because can you see it? Can you see the words? That's the only thing else. Is it big enough for you? Okay, I did wonder about that, because I think we've got to get used to the fact that sometimes we need to be really much closer, especially you people are far away. But I'll read it out to you. I've got to read it off here. I haven't written it down. This is a fact about geese. So they're flying in formation. That's like they belong to the group, okay? They all decided they're going to go, and then they're all going in a direction, which is what I think is really good. We can't just be sort of sitting that we're just going to be here. We've got to be going somewhere in our membership of a church, or we've got to be aiming at something. And I really like the idea about geese, because actually even the whole body of the goose looks as if it's moving forward, doesn't it? You know, so it's moving forward. Okay, so this is a fact about geese that fly in formation. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow.
Wow, that's how it works.
Wow. By flying in formation, the whole flock adds, listen to this, 70% greater flying range than each bird could go if it flew alone.
Wow.
So, that's why they fly in formation. So I think, I'm not quite sure, if we flap the wings, then the one behind is coming in here to a space. On the up, So when the wings go up, it moves into that space. So they go along there. Now, there's a lesson to be learned. This whole series of slides is called Lessons from Geese. What would be the lesson to learn from that?
Is that YouTube row? Could we find that?
No, I don't think so. It's a very old concept.
Okay.
A couple of people I've told about said that I could print it out for you if you really want to have it. But I don't. It could be on. I don't know. I haven't found it.
It's old. I read it years ago.
Yes, it's very old.
Before all of this was available.
It's very old.
Yes.
So what is the? What's the lesson that we flying towards something could learn from geese?
We travel faster in a group. We get support from each other.
Right, we get help from each other, support, and so we stay and go.
We stay.
Okay.
Flapping.
The lesson. People who share a common direction and sense of community can achieve more when they travel on the thrust of one another.
Well,
so if we travel with each other, we can achieve more. Okay, next one. Fact two. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of flying alone. It's harder to move now. I'm sort of not following them. I'm just trying to do it on my own, and it's harder. It moves back, so it goes back to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. So it moves back to be with the bird in front of it. So, well, that's a similar kind of a lesson, isn't it? Let's see what this one says. The lesson we have, moving forward together lets us feel each other's strength and help. and gives us the opportunity to help others, so that when we move back into formation, we flap our wings and that helps the person behind, and so all the way down the line. Next one. Oh no, yes, back three. When the lead goose tires, it moves back into the formation and another bird flies to the lead. So this is taking turns in leadership. And so we don't get tired. And so we sometimes feel if we've got the strength, we could do that job. And if we notice that person's feeling tired, or they might even tell us, I'm so tired of doing this job. I've been doing it for 8 years. I'm really tired. Then someone should, if we want our flight to continue, move in and be the lead. I think it says that. I'm sort of jumping the gun here. Okay. We can't rely on one person to always lead. A great community shares the hard work evenly. So then we have to be aware, don't we? We have to be aware that someone's feeling tired, and if we have the skills, we could move into that place, even if it's only for a while, to give everyone a rest. Oh no, wrong. Fact four. Geese in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep going and to indicate that they are following. Like, you're up front. Well, you can't see us, but we're going to honk and you will know that we're following you. We're here.
Honk, honk.
Yeah.
I'm here with you, Ro.
She's still coming.
Now, this is a very interesting one for me. I think I've got some notes here.
Ro, that would encourage the lead bird to keep going too, wouldn't it?
That's right, yeah. They can hear it. They can't see anyone because they know where they're going, but they can hear it and they can hear these people. That's right.
Especially going through class or something.
I think this lesson, what do you think about this lesson? What would that teach us? That fact about geese.
Everybody can have a contribution.
Everyone
to the forward pass.
Everyone can have a contribution to the forward action, forward movement. Yes.
And we need everybody's courageous to stay motivated.
That's the one. I think that's the crucial thing. It needs to be encouragement. We don't want to be discouraging. And I hear a lot of conversation in our church that's discouraging. And I think, I just label it as, well, that's discouraging, so I won't pay attention to it. But a lot of people who may feel more vulnerable do get to feel discouraged, I think.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that I would like to bring out from this, that we need to encourage one another if we're going to stay strong and help each other go forward. We don't want to, yeah, but Christadelphia, they do. I don't find that helpful to me going forward. That can be helpful. Say we're having a discussion with someone about, well, what do you think our, we've got a small group, say, what do you think the problems in our group are? Then if someone wants to talk about that, then I'm not saying we don't talk about it, but the general conversation, when we're in group, needs, in the big group that's flying forward, we need to be encouraging. We need to encourage one another. And if you look at the Bible scripture, there's so many scriptures in the Bible about encouraging. So it's hard sometimes to feel encouraged. And it's even harder sometimes to encourage someone else. So I can understand when sometimes we feel discouraged, because if we feel discouraged, it's usually because we're noticing that the people we would like to join our lovely V formation, they're not joining. And so we feel a bit discouraged. We don't know what to do. And so we feel a bit discouraged. And that's worrying, and we might want support about talking, and so we choose to talk about that. So there's people that are not joining us in our flight. There's some children aren't joining us, and also then people leave our group, and that worries us. But I think instead of talking about what's wrong with our flight, we need to talk about where we're going,
mm-hmm,
and who towards, and why we think it's really important that we keep on going that way, and why we need to encourage one another. So there's something, question I'm going to ask you. This might be a bit relevant to you. Do you think, is the exhortation or the sermon the most important thing on a Sunday when we come together? Is the exhortation the most important thing? No. Most people are saying no.
It's being together.
Mm-hmm. Someone said the breaking of bread, the remembering the sacrifice. Yes. Someone else said it's being together. Any other ideas?
Serving each other.
We're supposed to be encouraging each other, huh? If we don't, like, I know a lot of people, I won't go, I don't like that person. It's going to be boring, that person's, you know, don't go and hear that person talk.
Except
and
sometimes I've heard people say when an exhortation hasn't been appropriate, they've been terribly distressed by it, there have been roots distressed. So in some ways, it can be the most important. Doesn't mean it should be. But, yeah, so it's not something static.
No.
Is it? It's the dynamics of a Sunday morning aren't necessarily static. But if you took away the exhortation, it wouldn't be the same. You wouldn't have that encouragement. So I don't think there's a black and white answer to that.
What do people feel?
Well, forgiveness is sin, and confession is sin, really. To me, would be the most important, and the sin covering.
Mm-hmm. But you can do that personally, can't you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Beth.
It's remembering Jesus that is the most important.
Is it? Because some people think it's being together the most important.
Well, together remembering the sacrifice.
Yeah, together remembering.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So then, when exhortation is part of that.
So, well, it
sometimes it doesn't hit the mark.
Sometimes it isn't. No.
And sometimes someone might like it. You might like it, but it hits the mark for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you found that? I've found that. I've often said, "Well, I mean, it was great to be here, and blah blah, and you know, trying to encourage one. That exhortation left me a bit cold." And then someone said, "Oh, really? Thought it was so good. They said about this." And you sort of think, we are all different, you know, and we all got a different need, a different perception of other people, a different... Oh, I was going to mention that about this drawing that I put. I was going to say we've got this different perception, and I was telling someone about this drawing that I was going to put up, and they said, so it's got concentric circles. And I said, no, actually, it's ended up being like a bit like an eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon it is a bit like an eyeball?
Yeah.
And then, and this is like where we see, and I'm sort of wondering whether, I said, I've got to do it like this. And I said, wouldn't it look better as a... I said, no, actually, I think I like this idea of
the eye.
Seeing it. So with all this sort of stuff, this is affecting our perception of what we see of the world. Yes, so, anyway, back to my point. So, yes, I think it's interesting to think about that. Those two things about encouragement and our different perceptions are two of the things that I want to think about. So the lesson from this is, what is it? The honking. Mm-hmm. The honking to encourage.
But it also lets you know if someone's lost, if they've gone off track, if their voice is coming from the wrong direction. like with the kids, like
yes.
It also helps them to,
yes.
You can, yeah.
To keep together.
So if
yes.
They know if someone's cut.
Yes. So even when following, encouragement is an important contribution that everyone must or can give to strengthen the group. Mm. So that's that one from there. Now this one is the last one. Fact 5. When a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of formation and follow it to help and protect it.
Oh, it does.
Mm, that's the point you were making. And so, yes, I'm not quite sure what they do, whether they then, if they can, I suppose, stay with them or maybe help them to rejoin or maybe, I don't know.
Encourage
them. Encourage them, yes. So, oh, I left that one out. Oh, sorry. Oh, I go back. Oh.
2, 3, 4, 5.
There are always those who need help, and we must be ready to respond in order to stand by them when they're in need. And that is exactly the story of the lost sheep, isn't it? Exactly. So the shepherd leaves the 100 sheep and goes to find the lost one. Just thinking about, I'm just wondering about whether there's time for this. Someone said maybe the remembrance of Christ is the most important one. Now that's a sort of a ritual, and I just wanted to briefly mention ritual but I think this might be another topic I'd like to talk about later, another time. Because the rituals, the things that we do together, they sort of help define our group and strengthen our group. We actually do things together. Like, you know, when we, or even just standing up and singing. Like, when we stand up and sing hymns, I was really going to do that today, but then I thought, oh, I think we're a bit all over the trot with this talk. And I was telling Lois, I'm going to ask her next time. That I really love it when we all stand up and sing together, because we don't do much that's together. Even when we're talking about the bread and the wine, it usually is a inwardly reflecting. We're all doing it together, but we're inwardly reflecting at that moment, aren't we? Mm. And I think the singing together is something that's really, it's active, and we can hear and hear each other, and it's the honking and all that, this part. But it's very lovely. Then there's the other rituals, like the bread and the wine. They have great significance for us, and we treat that as a very sacred sort of a thing that we're doing, and our prayers, and think of other rituals that we, what other rituals do we have in our membership? Sorry?
Praying.
Praying, yes. Praying together.
Grace
sometimes.
Before meals.
Yes, grace before meals, mm-hmm. But in the church, well, we have Christmas celebrations. We now have Easter celebrations now. We brought that one in. We have baptism celebrations with someone.
Collections.
Others, yes. All those things are part of the thing that we do, and that defines our group, and it helps us to know that we belong.
When you think of other churches, do lots and lots of things that we decide not to do.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, we don't go...
Don't do the cross thing, no. And I often think, that's sort of quite nice, actually.
Yes,
you know, I sort of think, but we decide not to, and maybe we did that at a time when we wanted to distinguish ourselves from the other churches, and
yes.
I can understand that. And even now, maybe we don't want to signify that we're...
You said that we're doing Easter. What do you mean we're doing Easter?
Well, we have that.
Think of lots of things we could do.
We have that Passover meal now.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm. Yes, that's right. And also Thanksgiving, I think we could really... What's the one where you bring all...
Food.
Food.
Mm. Thanksgiving. Mm.
Is that Thanksgiving?
Harvest festival.
Yeah. Harvest festival. I think it's something we could really
do in our service.
Yes.
We miss those sort of
we
things
do.
In our group.
We do. I agree. And also, when you think about the way God wanted to nurture his people in the old days, the Jewish people, all those feasts, they had lots and lots of them, like about one a month. We're going to do this, we're going to have that feast, we're going to do that feast, yeah. And so I know some churches, some ecclesias are doing a new thing. I think I've heard at Shaftesbury Road they now gather together with a new baby. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh really? Mm.
What do they do?
They gather together.
And the children get up on the platform.
And you pray for them.
So the parents that bring the baby to the church, well, I didn't know they got up on the platform. I don't think you need to get up. I think the church can gather around them and have a prayer for the welfare of this baby. I think that's a lovely, lovely idea that they have.
It was time to start what we wanted to announce, that the baby had been born, but they,
Didn't want to do that.
No. So that a change like that.
Well, we just need to talk. We just need to talk about not that. We need to talk about that.
Going
what's happening?
Forward.
Yes, going forward. We don't want to talk about what happened before. We want to talk about now. Shaftesbury Road does that.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think it's lovely. And we can think about doing that.
And also Mother and Father's Day, we tend to celebrate.
Yeah.
And Beringa introduced Naming Day because other churches have christenings, the dedication of the baby to Christ, so they introduced it as Naming Day, as a dedication to Christ.
So I think that the idea is that we all need each other so we can keep going forward. We need reminders of what's transcendent. So we need to come and be reminded of Jesus in the bread and the wine and in our conversations. We need reminders of our limitations and our dependence so we can prepare for the disappointments in life. Because when God is not present, we risk thinking that we're the center stage. We imagine ourselves to be commanders of our destinies and we trample on nature and we look out only for ourselves and our family and deny death and actually become less human. So I'm just liking to finish with my talk with this last one, which is a lovely scripture. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then be like-minded, one in spirit and purpose. Fly forward in formation. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's a lovely verse from Philippians.